Welcome to the Cover Crop Strategies Podcast, brought to you by Montag Manufacturing. I'm McCain Vogel, Associate Editor at Cover Crop Strategies. In this episode, listen to a conversation with grower and cover crop seeding professional Mike Unruh as he talks about three different ways to seed cover crops and explains why he disagrees with growers who say cover cropping in colder climates like Minnesota is too difficult. All right, so I'm here with Mike Unruh. Mike, if you want to just introduce yourself to our listeners real quick and just tell us a little bit about how you first got involved in agriculture. What are your some of your earliest memories of ag?
Yeah, so I guess my earliest memory, my name is Mike Unruh from Winona, Minnesota. I farm with my dad here in Winona, corn, soybeans, some cover crops, a little bit of alfalfa. Yeah, my first memories from agriculture, I guess, are from when I was a kid. Growing up, we had dairy cows and we dairied for a while and then sold out in 2001 and rented out the facilities. So I remember running skid loader when I was in kindergarten and always running equipment.
Awesome. And I understand you guys got into cover crops somewhere around maybe 10 years ago. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, kind of 2012. 13 is the one we remember a lot because that was a prevent plant year. So we put a kind of a, like a five-way mix or a diverse mix in on the prevent plant acres. And following wherever we planted that mix, the next year's corn was some of the best corn we ever grew. So then dad started doing stuff with winter rye. He was kind of no-tilling green back when that we were told that that can't be done. So he kind of he led the charge on it.
Do you remember kind of what sparked your guys' interest in wanting to try cover crops? Was it a neighbor? Did you guys attend any kind of event or what was the initial thought of like, hey, maybe we should try this?
I don't know exactly why dad decided to go that route. I think he had read about it in a magazine or something at the time. But a big reason for him was the erosion. So in Winona County here, we're pretty steep. We got some highly erodible soils. So he was sick of seeing soil washing. So he started kind of with the rye to hold the soil. And then from there, we just started learning more about what we were doing, what it was doing for our soil. We started running side by sides and we were seeing corn doing really good behind it. So then we just kind of kept pushing forward with it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the region that you guys are in. And, you know, I feel like I hear a lot of not just Minnesota farmers, but people that live in northern states, colder climates that often make the argument like, oh, cover crops, no-till, it can't be done in these types of climates. What would you say to you know, those kind of farmers that kind of have that pessimistic attitude towards it?
You got to kind of go into it with an open mind. The hardest thing for people is when they're so focused on harvesting in the fall, they're like, when are we going to have time to plant it? That kind of thing. Cause you don't think you're going to get enough GDUs to get it to grow. But I've seeded rye, I think every month except for January. And I've had it grow every time. There's one stage where I find it's very vulnerable when it first germinates and then we get a really hard killing cold. That's when I'll kind of lose a stand. But otherwise rye, you can throw out whenever. I realize there's tons of other covers that we'd love to use, but then we have to adapt for our climate. So we know that we can't be seeding radishes end of October because it's kind of a waste of money. So knowing what you can get to grow and what's pointless, I think, is a big part of it. But they grow small grains all the way up in Canada. So if we're talking small grains as a cover, you can grow it wherever.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of rye, what's been your experience with like roller crimping rye? Has that been the most effective termination for you guys or what would you say there?
We did it 1 year as a trial. We're conventional. So I think for organic, it has a lot of validity. But on the conventional side, I think it's great because you can grow a high biomass cover crop, but you have to terminate the rye at the perfect stage during anthesis with that crimper. And that proved to be a little bit more challenging than we thought. We had the beans already growing. We planted the beans at boot stage and then went into crimp when rye hit anthesis. If you plant those beans slightly too early, we learned though, they'll get pretty tall and leggy. And then when you roller crimp that rye down, it kind of gets all wound up in the mat. So I think it's effective. We had to use glyphosate to end up killing off the rye. I didn't get a good kill with the crimper. So, and we just haven't tried it again since.
We'll come back to the discussion in a moment. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Montag Manufacturing, for supporting today's podcast. Montag Precision Metering Equipment is helping producers achieve their yield goals while saving on seed and input costs. For establishing cover crops, Montag's family of seed platform equipment adapts to a variety of major brand delivery systems that will conserve seed and nutrients along with soil and water. Explore new options for your production and conservation goals with your Montag dealer. Visit MontagMFG.com or call Montag at 712-517-2775. And now, let's get back to the discussion with Mike Unruh. And then let's talk a little bit about, you know, the different ways that you guys have tried seeding cover crops. What are those options that you've played around with, and what have you seen there?
Yeah, so it started, we would VT the ground and then use a 12-foot case, old case drill. And that's how we applied everything. But we could only get maybe 4 to 6 acres an hour done. So it was pretty slow. So in 2019, I started a company called Unruh Cover Cropping. And I bought a Kuhn CCX air seeder for the Kuhn VT. So we were doing the tillage and the seeding in one pass, because at that time we were still doing a lot of vertical tilling the ground. So to me, it made sense to kind of combine them. And that's been working really well. Now, since then, we've kind of gone much more the no-till route. So for us, if I don't need to run that VT, I don't want to on our own ground. So since then, I bought a Kuhn high precision fertilizer spreader, the Access 50 EMC, and it is incredibly precise. If I set rye for, let's say, 60 pounds an acre, it comes out at 59.7 pounds every time. So I've been extremely happy with that. We're seeding at anywhere from 60 to 90 feet spread patterns on rye, so I can cover a lot of acres, do it quick. And then the way we've been doing it is just leaving it on top and letting the rain get the rye established. If we're really worried about needing better seed to soil contact, then we'll, you know, you could run the VT, kind of lightly work the ground. That's what a lot of guys, if they custom hire me to seed it, to seed for them, and they have their own VT, we'll go out and spin it, and then they'll VT it in. Usually that's for guys that are trying to get a really good stand for like forages for the dairies. Yeah. And then the third method is, this last year I bought a DJI T40 drone, and where I needed something to fit the space for interseeding into corn when it's tasseled. So I looked kind of at the Hagie high clearance, but then for the kinds of fields we're running and stuff, I felt like the drone was a better fit. And I guess a really big part on the drone was more on the fungicide side. I can now control exactly when we need to put fungicide on, if we're fighting tar spot, or maybe we've got pests coming in bad. I don't have to wait for a helicopter. So now it's all in our control.
What are the most common pests that you guys see in your region?
The northern corn rootworm beetle has... it's interesting. We haven't seen it terrible on ours yet, but you don't have to go far away. And there's dairies or producers that are fighting northern corn rootworm beetle on triple stack corn with insecticide. So very high levels of resistance. As I said, we don't see it here yet, but between that and then we have had armyworm flights in. So now if we have an armyworm flight, you know, I can take the drone out quick and use insecticide. I haven't had to do that yet, but it's kind of another tool that we're ready for it if it happens.
Yeah, nice to have that option for sure. I'm curious too, with your cover crop seeding business, how have you seen like Like, is there a certain time of year that that's extra busy, or are people kind of asking you to seed cover crops all throughout the year? What's your busy season for that look like?
Spring is fairly busy with seeding oats, kind of that kind of work, and spring trip. Otherwise, the biggest one, the really big one, as soon as we start taking corn silage off in the fall, then it's pretty much nonstop through combining season. We're in a heavy dairy area, so a lot of guys, we do custom forage harvesting as well. So we'll come in and chop, and then a lot of guys will get the manure on, and then we try to get the cover crop on as soon as possible. Because a lot of the dairies that are growing it want it for forage, and our highest tunning forage usually comes when we can seed beginning part of September. The more growth we can get on it, the better in the fall. So yeah, I'd say fall is extremely busy.
Have you, either on your own farm or with the business, have you had much experience with frost seeding?
Yeah, we frost seeded 2020. And at that time, all I had was the VT. So I just loaded that thing up, and there was 6 inches of snow, and I just kept it up in the air and drove through the snow. It worked. We got rye. I think I seeded rye, and I think there was clover, and both the rye and the clover came. It doesn't get nearly as big as if you seed it, you know, in the fall. You got to be a little more patient in the spring. But it works as a way if you can't get it all done in the fall. Yeah.
And this would be kind of the time of year to do it for most people, right? Like early March, would you say? Or
yeah. Well, it's just, you're looking, in my opinion, you're looking for, like this year, it's been so abnormally warm early on, but you're looking for those highs to get maybe up into the 30s or 40s in the day, and then maybe down in the 20s at night. And the theory is the freeze-thaw cycle kind of worked that seed in the ground. I found as long as you can get the seed out there, we get some rain, it's going to germinate and come. But yeah, we seeded stuff, man, like the 25th of February here, because it was so dry and conditions were right. So we actually worked it into the ground for a customer. But just rye, it should come with.
I appreciate you chatting with me. Before we go, I'll give you a chance to let people know where they can hit you up for the cover crop seeding business if you're taking new customers or anything.
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook, Unruh Cover Cropping, UNRUH, and then Cover Cropping. That's probably the best way. That's where I try to keep stuff posted, but I don't post as much as I should.
Sure, no worries. All right, well, thanks a lot, Mike. This has been fun.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this episode of the Cover Crop Strategies Podcast. Thanks to Mike Unruh for that great discussion. The full transcript of this episode, as well as our archive of previous podcast episodes, are available at covercropstrategies.com/podcasts. Many thanks to our sponsor, Montag Manufacturing, for helping to make this Cover Crop podcast series possible. And from all of us here at Cover Crop Strategies, I'm McCain Vogel. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.